Thank you for joining me again today, and I'm super excited. I'm doing an interview with Dan Swakoska, and you are going to get to know Dan the same time I'm getting to know Dan. He popped onto my radar a few months ago. We have some mutual acquaintances, and I kept hearing amazing things about him, and I reached out to him, and I asked him to come on here because I like what he has to say. Like what he's doing on social media, and the people that are mutual acquaintances seem to be just as impressed as I am. So let me bring you in here and welcome. And thanks so much for meeting me for the first time on a recording. It's very brave of you.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So why don't you, let's start on the beginning. A few episodes ago, I interviewed Mike Ferrassi, and hopefully I pronounced his name right. I got to quit getting people on here with difficult last names to pronounce.
Yes.
But like, he told me a little bit about your story. So tell me a little bit about where you come from, what your background is, and how you found yourself here.
Yes. Great question to kick things off here. I've been in the mortgage industry for over a decade. And, you know, working on the retail mortgage side, I've been doing marketing for a long time, and specifically, again, mortgage focused marketing, right? Which a lot of people don't think is the sexiest thing to market. But the great thing about it, the thing that I love about this industry is, you know, the challenge is there, right? Like, you're taking something that's heavily regulated and something that's not a shiny new car. You're taking that and you're trying to make it appeal to people in the marketplace, right? So that's sort of fun around it.
And there's complexities, and a lot of times the solution is unique to the person that you're talking to. So exactly. Like there's a lot of, yeah. So when you were in the industry, did you ever originate, or have you always been in primarily a marketing role?
Yeah, I did originate early on, very early on. Did it for a little while. And what I loved about it was originating the loan. What I did not love about it was everything after originating the loan. I think hence the marketing position that kind of came across. I was never a fan of the 30 to 45 days, now even sooner, of the loan kind of ups and downs of the process, and the potential borrower deciding to leave their job and then the deal kind of falling apart. So those things
you have originated, I see.
Yes. Yes. But the other pieces I did, which really landed me into kind of an awesome hybrid here as far as being able to market mortgages.
Wow. Okay. That's really cool. You take a unique approach to marketing. Tell me a little bit about how you started marketing and what your approach was and what you see the opportunity is in this market. Actually, there was a transition that kind of happened there, right? So you were in the corporate retail world for a little while. So talk to me about what you were doing, what kind of marketing you were putting out, and how you ended up here and what your approach is, because I believe this is what I saw, but I saw you evolve and like you were exploring this new space and you were looking at this new market and trying to figure out where you fit into it and how you could help. And it seemed like I watched you grow into this position. And it seems like it feels to me like it happened really fast. It probably felt like it took a while for you, but take us through that part of the journey a little bit.
Yeah, it has been a journey. So it's like everyone else, this 2022 came and was a massive slam on the brakes. Everybody gets whiplash kind of moment, and me included, with the way the market adjusted. So before 2022 and in well into 2022, I've always been with retail mortgage outfits, leading mortgage teams and departments and strategy and on a company-wide level. And so that's been a lot of fun to build teams, to come up with ideas that could help our loan officers in their local markets, et cetera. And then when 2022 came, the focus started shifting because the market started shifting. And in the midst of that, the company that I was working for, we had to be strategic in the next decisions each stage of the process. And ultimately, the company decided that it was in the best interest of the company in the future to sell and transition that way out of the market. And so that was done about as well as I think you can do it as a company. And I had a pretty good heads up on this and was part of that process to walk through it. And, but that also resulted in, at the end of 2022, December 31st to be exact, me no longer being with the company because the company no longer existed. And so January 2023 was
a new year.
What do you want to do? What do you want to do? Yeah. What are the opportunities? And my choice was to sit back, take a break, and really think through it. And that's what ultimately led me to be Lone Dairy.
So you, and I want to get into this on what your perspective is, but I would imagine in a corporate environment, you're coming from like this brand approach to it. So while you're promoting loan officers, you're also promoted taking this brand approach. It seems like now you're taking a more, you're helping individual loan officers that all have different brands to found themselves. Actually, let me just start with the absolute obvious. What is being Lonegendary and what does that mean to you?
Yeah, it's, first off, it's just a really fun identifier, I think. Like to play on words like this. And it also spoke to, like, we want to help loan officers become legendary in their market. And so the way that kind of formed was loan officer, legendary. Let's merge the two. And another piece of that is, like, hey, we're not in any other industry. We're in the mortgage industry. I'm here to help loan officers and mortgage companies. And so having a name that sort of signals that as well was really important. So that's where Be Lonegendary originated as far as the idea of the name. And it's just taken off from there.
So I think this is part of what drew us together, because I don't believe in coincidences. And when you say to be legendary, that's different from being the best advertiser or being the best, having the best marketing, newest and latest and greatest. What is required by a loan officer to be legendary in their career?
In my view, being legendary as a loan officer goes well beyond just marketing efforts, like you said. It goes from starting point, relationships with your agents and with your existing borrowers, past borrowers, but goes throughout the entire stage, the journey, and everyone that touches that loan process, right? Is communication there consistently? Is the loan experience set up in a way that makes the consumer happy and the real estate agent partner happy? And then what kind of comes from that is, okay, these things are in place, and it's just, it takes that cycle and just makes it a full circle that kind of repeats itself, right? You're able to market this legendary experience because you are a legendary loan officer in your market, right? You don't have to be legendary nationally. A lot of the loan officers that I work with are specific to a region. It's not call center. It's, I'm in a community. I'm very involved in that community. And so it's saying, hey, let's make you be legendary in that community. And here's the ways we're going to do it.
So is this the foundation for what you do and you teach, is the systems and the processes, if I'm hearing you properly, but is the communication that takes place that engages the entire team and makes it a seamless experience for the consumer? Is that primarily what it is? Is that sort of the foundation part of it, or once you have your team in place, what's the next, how do you rinse and repeat, right? That's what everybody wants to do, is once you get your systems and processes in place and you can ensure a predictable experience for the consumer, then it's just rinse and repeat and then getting it out there, right?
Rinse, repeat, fine tune. I think that's always the other part of that, is to use your systems in place, and then you have the opportunity to make little tweaks here and there to make the process better and better. So an ongoing thing. But for what I'm up to as far as Be Lonegendary is concerned, there's really a couple pieces to this coin, right? Two sides to it. And one is that Be Lonegendary side, where it's all about the loan officer and helping that loan officer with resources to be able to understand how to better market, understand how to make a process that is legendary, as we're saying. And so trying to provide those resources at a very cost-effective way, right? So if you think about the newsletter that I've started, which was foundation and the kickoff point for all of this, that newsletter is completely free. It goes out every Friday, and that's for loan officers to be able to get insights that they might not get otherwise, right? And with a mortgage bent to it. It's not just marketing strategies, mortgage marketing strategies, right? And so it helps the loan officer. And then the other side of it is how we're trying to help existing enterprise level mortgage companies who have been struggling in the midst of this new market we find ourselves in, or this challenging market now, right? It's not new anymore. It's something we've experienced a while, but it's helping those mortgage companies who have had to let some of their marketing department go, but they still have loan officers who want to, you know, get marketing services in. So how can we help them fulfill that hole that's left on their team at a much more affordable cost? And so those are some of the things that we're working through and trying to really just fine tune so that we can help the industry as a whole.
Okay. So you're providing your marketing department for hire sort of thing for team, for companies that mm-hmm. can't, and I spend a lot of time in the broker space, and yeah. That's one of the more challenging things for small broker shops is you're wearing all of the hats for a long time, and you could have a pretty big team, but you don't necessarily have the money or the resources to carve out a marketing sort right. of department. So you can bolt on to that. Do you also help individuals, or are you primarily helping teams and different enterprise solutions, like you said?
Yeah.
Small or big.
We help both loan officers and an enterprise level. And so the enterprise level, again, exactly what you said, right? If you can't afford hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of salaries and then hundreds of thousands of dollars of benefits on top of that, you can just plug and play my team into your company, and we're going to do exactly what you need to be able to accomplish your goals as a company. So that's one thing. But the other piece is like, yeah, absolutely. Loan officers. So I like to think I like the help is in a few different ways. And one of those is, like, hey, resources. How, if you're connected to me on LinkedIn, I try to post daily something that could be a benefit, like a tip, a marketing strategy, whatnot for loan officers, but also the newsletter, right? Those are free resources that you can just engage with, take. And with the newsletter, a lot of times I'll create resources or guides or marketing plan templates for loan officers as part of the, you know, newsletter. And so here it is for free. Here's how you walk through it, how you do it, and give that to them. So trying to create those resources. But another way is some of these, talking on an individual level, mortgage loan officers or mortgage executives or leaders, you know, we also offer ghostwriting services for them for social media, right? So you have a lot of knowledge as a leader in the mortgage industry, but you don't have the time to kind of put those thoughts down on social media and try to help become a thought lead, help yourself become a thought leader or anything like that. Then we'll essentially work with you to be able to write those insights that only really you have in the industry and promote your brand through your voice there. So there's a number of ways we do it.
How important do you think it is for loan officers to be sharing their experience and creating this content and building up their authority as a thought leader or a trusted expert? Do you think that this market is unique in that aspect, that, and even the demographics of home buyers, the millennial demographics, and how they consume content and make decisions about the services that they choose? Where do you learn from that?
Yeah, great question. So it's really important right now, in my opinion, and it's only going to get more important as the years progress. So Gen Z is coming along, the millennial population, especially younger millennials, you know, they've made this transition. A lot of Gen Z, from what I'm gathering and hearing and seeing through some of our industry reporting that's going on here in surveys, is that they're transitioning from Google to being online web searches to TikTok and social media searches for their knowledge and their answers to mortgage questions. All right. Mm-hmm. So it's really important now. It's going to be really crucial, and almost, you almost have to do it as you get down the road. And so I think social media for a long time has been, especially in the mortgage industry, has been this like, you know, it's a box we check. We're not going to really go too deep into it, but we want to show that we're alive. And so we'll do these automated posts that all look the same from people within the company. And that solves a need, but it's just one small need in the midst of, if you are to adopt a true content creating strategy for your social media accounts, it will completely change your business. And the only reason I know that is because I've seen it work so many times. It's worked for me. You got to put the effort in. You got to put the consistency and the time in. But typically 4 to 6 months down the road, you are reaping those rewards. And after that 6 months, it's just like a, you know, you just shoot up even more, right, on what your returns are. And so that is my recommendation and advice to, if you're not on social media yet and you're in the mortgage industry, to quickly run to social media, figure out the best way to post for your best client. Like, who is your client? Go and write for them, create content, videos, whatever. And if you don't know where to start, go to somebody who, like me or Mike or whoever, who can guide you in that direction.
Yeah, wow. I have so many thoughts about that. It's, yeah, you're right. A lot of times, especially like the older generations, social media was like a marketing strategy, but now it's a communication channel.
Yeah.
It's where we can communicate our values and our experience. And what I always encourage people to do, if you don't know what to talk about, just create a video about the conversation you just had. Because, or your perfect client, your past client, they all come to you with an issue. They've probably spoken to somebody else that gave them the wrong answer or didn't care or didn't feel like they made a connection with you. And then talk through that experience. Because if, statistically speaking, for every conversation you have with somebody, it represents an exponentially larger audience of people that are having the same questions and have the same issues and the same challenges. And one of the things that I like to say is there are not 10,000 questions about qualifying for a mortgage. There are 10 questions asked 10,000 ways.
Yeah.
And you literally, and I have people say, oh, everybody already knows that. Person might know about that, but not the millennial, not the Gen Z that's coming into the market.
Yeah.
And so this, my podcast, the Second Opinion Loan Officer podcast, is literally about sharing your experience, sharing your expertise, because listen, you're not going to usually have the first conversation with a consumer, but when they realize that they don't want to talk to a telemarketer, or they don't want to be a lead, they're going to do a little bit more research and they're going to try to find a human to connect with.
Right.
And so if you're putting yourself out there and sharing your expertise and your experience, and you can make those genuine connections, that's the highest intent, highest trust conversation you're ever going to have, because they know and trust you before they even reach out. They already know what you're talking about, and you probably already solved their problem. But more importantly, you don't have to solve their problem. You just have to show that you are a problem solver in this industry, in the marketing space. And you young kids and your TikTok and your Instagram, I could never get there. I'm a blogger, like I'm old school, and I'm doing more and more video. I'm just not wired for that, but it's not because I don't think it's important or necessary. It's just that my personality, I'm more of a long form person. I can sit here and I can talk for 15 or 20 minutes on a topic and tell a story. And that's how I always did it. But that's why I want people like you. I want to have conversations with people like you, because just because I don't do it and I didn't do it and I haven't originated for a few years now, so I really didn't, it wasn't necessary for me to get into the TikTok space. Now I'm really just trying to share the story that you need to be telling stories.
Yeah.
And you need to be out there and you need to be genuine and you just need to be yourself, because it'll attract your, and you talked about your perfect client, right? When you talk about your perfect client, you talk about the things that you're an expert in, you hate doing down payment assistance programs, don't start doing videos about down payment assistance. Talk about the things that you, that who your perfect client is, your perfect demographic, the perfect types of loans that you specialize in. And then how important do you think generalized, okay, let me see if I can phrase this right. Niche content or demographics versus general mortgage content versus, and it's not versus, it's there's and ampersands in between each one of those, personal. You've got professional content, general broad content, and then personal. What is the, what does that recipe look like for you when you're telling people to, when you're advising people to create content?
Yeah, it's a challenge because there's a number of ways to do it. And the niche is always something that excludes a group of people, but it also makes the people who are within that niche extremely focused on your content.
Yes.
And it, and so if you have a niche, which some people in the mortgage industry, some loan officers have really carved out a niche for themselves, right? Mm-hmm. Whether that be investment, you know, type loans or construction, down payment assistance or VA loans. There's a, oftentimes there is a niche that becomes a developed persona of that person. And so those are big. A lot of though, what I see is there's not really a niche there. It's like, we have a bunch of loans. We're going to promote all of those loans, loan products. And we're going to work with sort of the standard ones, conventional FHA, Govy deals, whatever. And that, and so they don't necessarily have a niche. And if they want to go towards a niche, maybe that's something they start thinking through. I think the niche opportunity really does open up some doors, but you really got to own it. You can't flip flop back and forth and be like this general bucket and then narrow down and go back and forth and back and forth. You got to own your niche if you're going to get into the niche world. Right? And so my recommendation is to really figure out who your ideal customer is. We're not talking about getting in trouble on marketing, right? We're not talking about the compliance piece. We're just saying, who is your audience? Who are you really looking for? Is there an age range? Is it first time home buyers? And then you build your content off of that. And in the midst of that, you want to make sure, at least the way that I communicate this to loan officers is that you want to incorporate personal content in there as well. You want to make sure that you are seen as a real human, because people do business with people. Yeah. And so you want to make sure that people see you as a person. And so don't be afraid to go out there and to include some personal stuff in your life as well, with images and all that. Just makes you, it just makes you more real. And so if you're out there and you're saying, hey, this target kind of audience, I'm going to make sure that I am giving them as much value for free as I can. And I'm going to show myself as a real person in order to build trust and to be able to start these conversations with people. Those are the things I think that are going to really just maximize your presence online.
Man, you're a brother from another mother in a different generation. Seriously.
Yeah.
One of the things that I really encourage people to do is when they hear the word niche, they think about DSCR, VA loans, investment loans, or things like that. And I encourage people to broaden your perception of what a niche is, because niches can be demographic niches. And what I really see a lot of people having success with is talk about the world of their professional world through their generational eyes, what their experience is, how they search for information, how they make decisions. I love seeing these young professionals that are just sharing how they make decisions about things. And then demographics are then another niche could also be geographic. Don't underestimate the power of a hyperlocal presence. You're not going to be legendary in the United States of America, but you can be in backwater Arkansas or wherever your community is, where you're, and then the content in that community is about the community. it's talk to the local mayor, talk to the council members and small business owners that has the best slice of pizza in this small town and has a great story about how they moved to this area and opened this restaurant and support their family. It's like, it doesn't always have to be business, and it doesn't always have to be, and niche doesn't mean you specialize in a certain loan. Ultimately, I think it just comes down to who you are and what you're interested in, and talk about those things. Like, I know people that love flowers, and so they talk about their flower gardens and who has the best flowers in town and things like that. And it's really a cool opportunity that we have with this technology and the way that the world works now to really just be ourselves and use these channels. And COVID did a lot to make people comfortable on Zoom calls and online. And it's no longer weird to feel a personal connection with somebody over the internet. And like, we got to recognize those things as professionals and marketers. Man, Dan, this has been amazing. What is there anything that I didn't ask you or any last thoughts that you would want people to really, that you would want people to leave with here?
Last thoughts. So my last thoughts would be that there, I know we're in a challenging market right now, and trying new things in order to get new business through the door, even if that business comes in through the door maybe a few months down the road, I think is something that is really low risk for people, right? High return, low risk on the investment there, because we're talking, if you get active on social media and you start creating content and you do it consistently, and the content that you push out is going to be valuable to your audience, it's quite incredible the results that come. And this call is an example of that, right? We wouldn't have known each other unless we were both on social media.
Right.
And so that's the way the world works now. I would say, loan officers, you guys are experts at going out there networking. Social media is just another networking opportunity. It's just online. That's the difference. So use those skills that you've always been so great at. Get online, figure out how to do it. Send me a direct message. If you have any questions, I'm happy to help you along the way, but get out there and make a name for yourself so that business starts coming to you in the form of social media. So that would be my parting words for our industry.
I love that. And so I'm going to put links to your Belogendary newsletter in the description. You do a lot on LinkedIn, so people should find you and connect with you on LinkedIn. And you have a unique enough name that everybody should be able to Google your name or look you up and connect with you on social media.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Dan. I really appreciate this. It's been a pleasure getting to know you, and appreciate you taking the time to have this conversation. I think anybody that listens to this is going to learn something. And if they're already doing this, and I think this is something that's important for us, is to just encourage you and validate what you're already thinking and what you're already doing. And a lot of the stuff we're talking about is very delayed response marketing. You're not going to put in a quarter and get out a gumball. You're going to work on this for 3 to 6 months, and then it's going to start pouring in, and then you're going to refine it, and you're going to make it better, and you're going to keep on trucking. So Dan, thanks so much for being here. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon.